All right. With that, we can go to John again for item number three on the agenda, report and possible discussion on reports from the Bogdan Group.
I will introduce Richard Holbein to give our quarterly performance report. And I think Richard may also talk to us a little bit about just some of the other investment possibilities we might have. And I'll turn it over to Richard. Y'all handed out the report. You have it in your materials, but there's a hard copy of it that I just gave you. Go ahead.
It's kind of an interesting time that we've gone through here through the last year for sure, which most of which you've just seen with the actuarial report and the gains that we made. But if you open to page two, the first quarter, and it includes an additional month past the fiscal year that we just went through, we had a slightly positive returns in the equity market, with the exception of emerging markets on the international side. And the same thing, if you will, for the year. Markets were up in the double-digit area, with the exception of emerging markets that had a slightly negative return for the full year. But when you looked at the fixed income markets, a totally different picture. 1 year performance flat to negative, depending on what area of fixed income you happen to have been invested in. Through year end, it was a negative market, but the first quarter, as you see up earlier in the chart above, almost 2% in some areas of fixed income, which brought the overall return for the full year now back to basically flat. And one of the things that we did recently, was put some money into the PIMCO Tactical Opportunities Fund in an effort to try and shelter us from rising interest rates, which would produce negative returns in the fixed income market. Although, from the standpoint of some of the calculations that go into the new GASB and whatever, that would have, an offsetting effect. If interest rates rise, then that actuarial liability that gets booked in there would also be less impactful on the overall plan. On page three, looking at whatever area of the domestic market, value growth, core, all positive returns for the quarter, and 20% plus returns for the full year. Significant up market, and this up market has been running for quite a while now, in the area of 5 years, which puts it a little bit past the median, if you will, from the standpoint of up markets after a significant market correction like we had in 2007-2008. The one thing that is, I guess from my standpoint, I'll look at is what's going on with growth and value as the market gets along. You see, the market spurts towards the end where growth starts to do better than value tend to say that the market is getting a little bit older in the tooth, that there's a lot of money flowing into the market just to try and catch up, and that trying to catch up is what's driving the market. And you see for the full year, the small cap growth up 27%, small cap value up 23%. The prior year was a little bit different, where we had higher value returns than growth. I'd like to skip a couple of pages unless someone wants to talk about different sectors of the market at this particular point in time, and move on to, if you will, page eight, and look at the fixed income market a little bit more in depth. The quarter, positive returns in most areas of the market for the quarter. BAA's up the most, so credit portfolios did significantly better than government-based portfolios. The overall market is, with the aggregate, was up 1.8%. The global market was also significantly positive. The global market ex-U.S. Was up 2.8%. So significant returns, if you will, for the quarter, and bringing up the overall return for the year in fixed income, with the exception of TIPS, which discounting inflation has moved off and sold off during the trailing year. And U.S. Treasuries for the year did not produce the significant returns in the first quarter here to wipe out the losses that occurred in the second quarter of last year. Have a negative 1.3% return in the Treasury market. Down on page 9, you can see the overall rise, if you will, in interest rates over the last 12 months. The bottom part of that curve is the interest rates curve at the end of 2012. And the top line is the interest rates at the end of 2013. So a significant rise over that one-year time frame, and a drop in interest rates, which is the middle line there, for the first quarter. So that was the recovery that came into place to bring fixed income closer to just being flat for the trailing year. Next couple of pages are just the allocation of the fund from the standpoint of the asset classes and from the standpoint of the portfolios. Significant allocation or significant diversification that has occurred in this plan over the last 4 years, going from just domestic and international equity and bonds into domestic international equity bonds, and also including some other, if you will, fixed income, which is the PIMCO TACOPS, some real estate in the form of REITs, and some infrastructure in the form of master limited partnerships in the energy area, which now is very close to the target with a 9.3% allocation. From the standpoint of the various portfolios, still, you know, very nice diversification. The largest manager is Brown Brothers Harriman of their Core Select Fund. Then Harbor International Fund. Royce Premier, which is the small to mid-cap fund that we have that's been around for a while. Metropolitan West Fund, Fund Vanguard, short-term investment grade, both of which are credit-oriented. And because of that, as we move along, you should see that they did fairly well here more recently than the overall market. Cohen & Steers, REIT Fund, and the MLPs were, if you remember, diversified over the last 6 months to where we now have two holdings of MLPs, the Cohen and, the Credit Suisse Cushing MLP, MLPN, which is an equal-weighted MLP, and the UBS Alerian MLP Infrastructure, which is a capitalization-weighted MLP. So we've got additional diversification in the MLP area and the PIMCO TACOPS Fund. Any questions on the overall allocation?
Richard, might you, at this point, because there's an agenda item after this that we were going to talk about the rebalancing. Do you want to make any point about potentially we're overweighted in domestic equities right now with BBH relative to real estate?
Right.
Because the committee changed back in August of 13. They changed the asset allocation to put 10% in the real estate category, and we're only at 5% right now.
Right.
And so one of the last agenda item after we're done here is to discuss whether the committee wants to rebalance that and effectively take approximately $1 million from the BBH Harriman and put it into the real estate sector. Right. And I didn't know if you wanted, while you're right there, you may want to comment about whether you think that's a prudent idea or
well, part of what we're trying to do here is also provide some additional diversification within that real estate area. And one of the things I had hoped to bring to the committee, but I had anticipated John being gone, and quite frankly, I didn't want a decision item if your major person here from the standpoint of the business operations was not sitting around the table as we talked about that change. We do have the option, if you'd like to do that, of dollar averaging into the Cohen & Steers Realty Shares Fund. It's an incredibly diversified REIT. And then if we decide to move further into something that is more diversifying from the standpoint of possibly something that is on the private side of things, that could be used as a source for that versus using equity as a source for it. So those are the two options that are kind of there. Over the next 3 months, I'd certainly anticipate bringing in something from the standpoint of real estate, and we wanted to send you something well in advance so you could look at it from the standpoint of diversifying into something different instead of saying, well, here it is, make a decision now.
Well, the reason I asked that question, if we were going to do that type of thing, it would be good to use the new money to rebalance with. That's the reason I was asking the question when we can fund it. Rather than having to sell something and then turn back around in 3 months and buy it back. But apparently that's not the realistic
we really can't pay earlier because we don't have it budgeted.
It's not
that
budgeted.
It's budgeted for the next fiscal year, and so we'd have a little bit of an issue because that's just the way we plan it.
And that's the reason I asked the question, because when I was looking at this, I thought, well, why sell something, turn around and buy it back?
That's right.
Of best practice is when something comes in from the standpoint of distribution, that is used to settle up, if you will, allocations.
Okay. Go ahead and continue.
We're not too far off, though, on our large cap. We're, what, basis point or so?
Our 2 pages down shows the variance from the overall target allocations on page 13. Real estate is 4.8% below the target, but within range of what was established. MLPs are very close to target. Fixed income is very close to target. International equity is close to target. And the small and large cap equity are a little bit above target. And the cash position is a little bit above target, which is primarily used for distributions, beneficiaries. Hey, pulling money out of there and then all of a sudden selling stuff to pay benefits. It's much better to use that to do it. But when you have a big contribution coming in, that's the opportunity to use to rebalance.
How do we manage the cash in this account, John? Where is it? We're obviously selling assets, I assume, in most cases, to create the cash.
The account does get some dividends and interest earnings that come in to some extent to pay the benefit payments.
Right.
But otherwise, we do sell occasionally. We have to sell some assets and things, and it's usually just based on our asset allocation as far as rebalancing. So that's something that we work with Wells Fargo in doing that.
And so under today's scenario, if we needed to reduce our allocation in large cap, we'd likely sell that portion of the portfolio to pull back into allocation.
Yes, you would tend to do it based on what you're furthest, where you're furthest from the from your targets.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the things that we've done in putting together the various asset classes was tend towards those that did produce income. And so as that income flows in, that reduces the need for making a sale to provide for the benefit payments. I mean, MLPs produce income, the fixed income area obviously produces income. And the real estate area produces.
What are we expecting from MLPs? What were they, 6-7%?
Well, the investments that we're on, the fees that are in there go against the income that's generated from the underlying portfolio, and then the excess is distributed to the holders of those partnerships. And right now, that's probably in the area of a little bit over 4.7 to 5% income being distributed out of the MLPs. That's one of the, you know, And that should grow because it's one of the beauties of MLPs over long periods of time are the distribution growth and the inflation contracts that are there for storage and transportation of the energy. Page 14, 15 are very, very alike because they're the first quarter and year-to-date numbers showing, income generated of some $66,000, appreciation of $355,000, distributions of some $414,000. So the income went to pay part of those flowing in would have paid some of the distribution and offset some of it that was taken out of the cash account. Started the quarter at 21.8 million and ended the quarter at 21.8 million. So, from the standpoint of portfolio growth, a flat quarter. Page 16 is the year-by-year results on the portfolio and total fund. And page 17 over consecutive year results. And we have for the last year, the year ending in March, 11.4%. Return for the overall portfolio on a net basis, 8.4% for 3 years and 11.8% for five. And since inception, and that's the when we were able to gather information from the prior consultant from December of 2005, up 5.8% over that time frame. This latest year was a tough year, if you will, from the standpoint of the types of portfolios that we have, and those portfolios have had a history of very good downside protection and moderate to satisfactory, if you will, upside participation in the market. So a little bit more stability of return, but over time, a higher return than the overall market and their peers. which I think, you know, comes into play with some of the actuary work from the standpoint of actuarial valuation of things, and lowering the overall volatility helps in that that calculation, I believe. Total domestic equity for the year was up 17.8%, slightly below the markets of 22.4%, 3 years 12.1%, and 5 years 17.9%, almost 18%. So it's been a significant time frame for equity investments over the last 5 years. And since 2005, up 6.8%, slightly above the actuarial rate of return. And that's over a little over a 8-year time frame return. The BBH Core Select portfolio for the year was up 16.5%. The S&P 500 up 21.9%. And the since inception, BBH hadn't been around that much longer, but 18.75%. That's August of 2012. We'll be coming up on a 2-year time frame here in about 5 months from the time of this report, and the S&P 500 up 22.8%. Royce Premier had a good quarter, up 1.8%, and for the year 21.99% or 22%. So a good trailing year for Royce, somewhat below the other small cap portfolios for the year. 9.4% for the 3 years, and for the since inception, 14.3%. And if you look at some of the Royce Premier numbers, as I said earlier, that you know, when the market tends to have some distress, Royce, the portfolios that we have tend to do a little bit better. The big years up in 2013 and 2012, they lagged. 2011, which was a negative year for the market, even though Royce had a slightly negative return, they did better than the market. And we'll see some more information on that when we look at their individual charts. Harbor International has been a very good performing fund for the portfolio. Had a 1% return for the latest quarter, almost 16% for the trailing year, 6.8% for the 3 years, and 9% for the since inception, which is April 1 of 2010. Which would be a 4-year time frame for Royce Premier. The overall MSCI world was up 6.8% over that time frame. So very good returns for Harbor, both on an absolute and relative basis. Fixed income, we made the shift, if you will, out of BlackRock. So on a 1-year basis, we have a 1.5% return in the portfolio, 3-year 4.2%, which is a good 1% over the bond market of 3%, 5-year 4.6%, slightly above the market of 4.4%. 5.2 since inception, which is an 8-year time frame, basically, of 5.2 versus 4.7. Metropolitan West said it was primarily in credit. They had a positive 1-year time frame of 1%. The government credit index had a negative, slightly negative return over that time frame. Vanguard short-term investment grade up 1.4, and the Barclays U.S. credit 1 to 5 year was up 1.4 also. So they both did very, very well compared to other shorter-term portfolios over that time. PIMCO TACOPS, very new, so we've been looking at the latest quarter, up 2.6% for the quarter, and the aggregate was up 1.84 over that time. MLPs, up 9% for the year, and 14.8% since inception. The quarter, by the way, the year-to-date, we pretty much were settled into the new MLP structure between MLPN and MLPI, and the 2.3% on year-to-date compared to the MLP index of 1.9 is doing what we had hoped would happen, and I think it's moving through very nicely. The Cushing MLP 2.68%, UBS MLP up 2.1, equal weighted doing slightly better over that time frame than the capitalization rate. Real estate portfolio, Cohen and Steers, conservatively run, if you will, REIT, with a one-year return of 5%, and since inception return of 11.2%. And year by year, from the standpoint of Wilshire, Cohen, and Steers, they haven't been around to have had any additional information on page 21. Graphically portrayed, looking at the total fund on page 22, right around median return for the 3 and 4 year time frame, below average for the 5 year. And slightly below for the 2 year, 1 year and 2 year fiscal year to date, significantly above average, and for the quarter above average. Portfolios that had less diversification, more exposure to domestic equities over those time frames tended to do better, but we believe with the diversification is going to add stability when the market tends to have a downturn. The big, if you will, reason for part of the underperformance there at 5 year was the 2009 and 2010 return of the market when it was all pretty much or significantly run by BlackRock, which is no longer in the portfolio. You can see that graphically on page 23. The market rolling 5 years dropped off significantly in 2011 and has been recovering since that time frame. Any questions on total portfolio? And the charts I have in here were produced based on the historic returns of the managers and not just on the returns for the fund, which you saw on the previous pages, and that would match up through the one-year time frame for BBH Core Select. But for the full five-year time frame, first quartile performance, above average 2 years, first quartile, 3, 4, and 5 years compared to other core funds. You can see that part of the return that has been generated by BBH has been fairly consistent over time, less volatility than the overall market, and with therefore producing, if you will, better returns than the market over longer periods of time. When we first started looking at them and included the 2007-2008, they were very, very good because in those time frames they had significant downside protection, which is one of the things we would like to see if we have another significant downturn in the market. And that's shown, if you will, on the upper right-hand chart on page 25, BBH, we'll select, being significantly above the market on a rolling 5-year basis when you include those 2007, 2008, 2009 time frames moving through there. Any questions on Brown Brothers? Royce Premier, I think we've talked about, it's kind of disappointing that they haven't kept up better with the market here more recently. But once again, Royce Premier had done a very, very good job with downside protection. They just not participated as well as we would have thought in the up market. That was one of the portfolios that was with the system when I first started working with it. I looked at them and I thought, this is really a good, well-run portfolio and one of them we should continue with. It has underperformed significantly over the last several years, but we're anticipating that when a down market comes, it's going to protect on the downside. And will once again, total return on a cumulative basis move back up on a relative, from a relative standpoint. You can see that down on the upper chart on page 27, where when you include the 2007-2008 rolling periods into the 5-year area, they were above what had been happening in the small cap area. Page 28, this was another portfolio along with BlackRock that was here when we first started working with you. That one we looked at said this is also a well-run portfolio, and it has continued to be well-run. 5 years, the overall return of that fund has been up 18.3% versus 16% for the market. Significant outperformance over that time frame, and pretty much outperformance over all cumulative time frames. When the market has been really, really high, like in 2009, it lagged. Other than that, it's done. It's kept up with the market or outperformed the market on an annual basis. Chart in the upper right-hand corner of page 29 just does the 5-year rolling numbers, and pretty much over all of those time frames, with the exception of one, actually two, it has outperformed the market on a rolling 5-year basis. So that's been very, very good in the portfolio on a relative basis and on an absolute basis. PEMCO TACOPS on page 31, we really don't have a lot of data on this. We just have the fiscal year to date and the quarter, 2.6%, 0.69, both time frames doing very well compared to the overall market. also the new holdings from the standpoint of MLPs. Not a lot of data on them yet, and we expect that that's going to do very well over time also, and generate significant, you know, bond-like income with some underlying distribution growth, and there, and because of that distribution growth, an increase in the overall capital in the firm. And so you should see an increase in both capital appreciation and income from MLPs. Page 34, looking at Vanguard short-term investment grade, has been a well-run portfolio for quite a while. From the standpoint of other short-term portfolios, very, very high relative and absolute performance. Same thing on page 36 for our Metropolitan West, very good longer-term returns from the standpoint of this is the Cohen and Steers. There's Metropolitan West. I guess they didn't put it in here. Cohen and Steers, very good, you know, absolute return over longer periods of time, above average returns. Grows off nice income and gives long-term exposure to the real estate market. Due to the conservative nature, if you will, of this particular portfolio, when we came out of 2008-2009, a lot of the real estate that was held by some of the higher flying REITs or that type of thing had been significantly beat up. And the recovery coming out of there, they bounded up very, very quickly. So kind of Cohen and Steers lagged the Wilshire REIT, if you will, index. Here on a rolling five-year basis over the last couple of years because of that significant upswing in the higher risk REITs that occurred. I think Cohen and Steers over a long period of time is going to not only add stability but good return to the portfolio. And that pretty much finishes all of the current holdings. If there are any questions?
Well, don't go too far away because the next agenda item is going to go back into all of this because I don't know that you answered this question a minute ago when he talked about where you want to go with the, if you move $1 million, because your answer was, well, if I'd have known you were going to be here, I'd have had another something. So in a minute, I guess we're going to,
we have
an agenda item here, so we're going to address it. Are there any more questions on his report? Well,